Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Organizations who want Idaho taxpayers to pay for private schools and religious schools at the expense of the public school system are spending money for ads attacking Democratic House candidate Kathy Dawes of Moscow and other candidates across the state. Washington Insurance Commissioner says most gray and Oregon road fire victims in Spokane County underinsured, and Moscow committee recommends changes to side yard buffer zoning ordinance. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Washington Insurance Commissioner Mike Kreidler says his office has collected data showing most people whose homes were destroyed by the Gray and Oregon Road wildfires in Spokane County last year were uninsured. The two fires sparked on the same day and burned 20,000 acres and destroyed 366 homes in or near the communities of Medical Lake and Elk. Kreidler issued a news release Monday which showed he had found 355 significant dwelling claims of at least $10,000 in dwelling loss and $10,000 in personal property loss from the two fires. According to the Spokesman Review, Kreidler wrote in a statement, "That's a sign that in most cases the coverage limits were reached. It's a tragic loss for the people involved in these fires and an unfortunate situation to not be made whole after a life-changing event." Spokane Region Long-Term Recovery Group President Terry Cooper, who is also the mayor of Medical Lake, says the insurance commissioner's numbers make sense based on his experience. Cooper said, "I don't know a single person not underinsured." Kreidler recommends those whose homes have not yet burned should make sure they have at least 2 years of loss of use coverage because of the amount of time it takes to rebuild. He said homeowners should regularly review their policies to make sure they can fully replace their homes and possessions in case of a wildfire. Cooper noted property values rose quickly during the COVID pandemic, and the cost of replacing property has risen as well because of supply chain issues and higher labor costs. The Spokesman and Review reports last month more than 60 insurance companies sued Inland Power to recoup insurance claims for those whose homes were destroyed. That lawsuit alleges Inland Power was negligent for failing to replace the faulty outdoor light that started the fire west of Medical Lake. Whitman County Auditor Sandy Jameson says mail carriers have not delivered 200 to 300 mail-in ballots to voters in Garfield. U.S. Postal Service workers in Spokane successfully processed the ballots, after which they were lost. The post office is investigating. Voters who have not received a mail-in ballot should check their ballot status at votewa.gov and ask for a replacement ballot as soon as possible. Tacoma Police spokesperson Shelby Boyd confirmed yesterday the death of 61-year-old Charles Leo Daniel while detained at the Northwest Immigration and Customs Enforcement Processing Center in Tacoma, died in March of natural causes, specifically cardiovascular disease. Daniel's death brought renewed attention to the conditions at the facility. Guards at the ICE facility, privately run by the Geo Group Corporation, held Daniel in solitary confinement for nearly the entire 4 years he was detained at the Tacoma facility, a fact immigrant rights advocates have criticized. Detainees and human rights groups have reported for years on inadequate food and harsh treatment at the Geo Group facility. There were at least 6 suicide attempts in the lockup this year alone. Detainees have repeatedly gone on hunger strikes in protest of their conditions to no avail. Most detainees have not been convicted of a crime and are awaiting deportation hearings. GEO Group spokesperson Christopher Ferreira referred questions to U.S. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, which has not yet given a response. Supporters have created a GoFundMe internet page to help the mother and stepfather of stabbing victim Madison Mogan attend Brian Koberger's murder trial in Boise, scheduled to run from August 11th next year until November 7th. Madison Mogan was one of four University of Idaho students found stabbed to death in the November 2022 multiple homicide. Funds will go towards the parents' travel and 3 months of room, board, and lost wages. The goal is $45,000. Any remaining funds would go towards memorial scholarships. GoFundMe organizer Kara Guthrie said the parents' attendance is important to represent Madison Mogan and potentially give victim impact statements. Similar GoFundMes exist for Mogan's biological father and the family of Kaylee Gonsalves, another of the four stabbing victims. The citizen requirement for voting constitutional amendment will go before Idaho voters this year. Under the Idaho Constitution, only U.S. citizens can vote in government elections in the state. Under state and federal law, people must be legally registered to vote in order to vote in state and federal government elections. The possibility exists for individual counties or municipalities to allow non-citizens to vote in county and municipal elections, such as school board elections. Only 16 municipalities nationwide, 11 in Maryland, 3 in Vermont, and 2 in California, make such allowances. Idaho municipalities were already unlikely to join them. The legislature introduced the constitutional amendment as part of a nationwide trend to fabricate the notion that fraudulent voting is real and widespread. The wording of the proposed amendment is problematic. According to critics, it would add the following text to Section 2 of the Idaho Constitution, Qualifications of Electors, quote, "No person who is not a citizen of the United States shall be a qualified elector in any election held within the state of Idaho," unquote. Critics of the amendment say the broad language would bar non-citizens from voting in private elections, such as those for parent teachers associations, homeowners associations, and labor unions. Since non-citizens are already barred from voting in all government elections in Idaho and most government elections nationwide, passing the amendment would have no effect on elections for government posts in Idaho, but would affect private elections. The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee Monday recommended the city make changes to the city's landscape buffer yard ordinance, which provides visual buffers between uses of different intensity, reduces erosion and stormwater runoff, protects property values, and eliminates potential land use conflicts by mitigating adverse impacts from dust, odor, litter, noise, glare, lights, signs, buildings, or parking areas. The Planning and Zoning Commission had been working on updating the landscape buffer yard requirements to provide more flexibility in the application of the standards, to update the illustrations to better convey the requirements, and to correct minor inconsistencies. Moscow City Planner Mike Ray told the committee the Planning and Zoning Commission wanted to modify the ordinance because the city had not updated the code in a long time.
And this is the matrix within our code right now. You can see the zone of the proposed use on the top. So these are our zoning districts. Then you have the zone of the adjacent property. So you would go down, for instance, R4, down to what would be motor business, and there'd be a beat buffer. There are currently errors in this. So there's a blank column here. And then down here, BN, we don't have a zone that currently reflects BN. It's supposed to be motor business. So just correcting those errors. And then we have a zone, urban mixed commercial, which has been added since the last time this is updated. So just adding that within the matrix as well. And then these are three types of buffer. So A, B, and C. The least intensive is the A buffer all the way up to the C buffer. C buffer includes a fence. And these also vary in width, but are allowed to go down to 10 feet in width with an irrigation system. So the A is 12, B is 14, and C is 16, but they can be reduced to 10. And then really just vary. A's two canopy trees, four understory trees, and six shrubs. And then they just increase as intensity as you go down the list. But as you can see, this looks like it's been photocopied probably since the 90s, and that's included in our zoning code. So just going through and updating. So this is just to be consistent with other portions of our code as we've done the land use table. And then one item of note is we just universally it's 10 feet, regardless of whether or not there's an irrigation system installed or not. Really, it's an ongoing obligation of the property owner to maintain the trees and the shrubs. We really don't care if there's an irrigation system. Typically, within first 2 years, you irrigate those to get them established. But beyond that, you really don't need to water them too much. So really, just we just care that those trees and shrubs stay alive for the long term. And we do audits every once in a while to make sure that those still exist on developments.
That was Moscow City Planner Mike Ray speaking at the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee meeting Monday. The committee set a public hearing on proposed changes to the landscape buffer yard ordinance for next Monday night's Moscow City Council meeting. The Idaho Federation of Children has spent $85,000 statewide campaigning against legislative candidates this fall who oppose the use of taxpayer money to pay for private schools, including religious schools. The same group spent $300,000 opposing legislative candidates in the May primary elections when they helped remove two lawmakers from office who opposed the school privatization efforts. One of the targeted candidates in the fall is Democrat Kathy Dawes of Moscow. Dawes is challenging Republican Representative Brandon Mitchell of Moscow, who votes with the far right most of the time in the legislature. According to the Idaho Education News, the Idaho Federation for Children has spent $11,000 trying to defeat Dawes. The group has spent $53,000 opposing the campaign of incumbent Democratic State Senator Rick Just of Boise, and spent $3,157 supporting Just's Republican opponent, former Representative Cody Galloway. The two are running in West Boise's District 15. The Idaho Federation for Children has spent $14,675 campaigning against Democrat Mary Shea of Pocatello, who is challenging incumbent Republican Representative Dustin Manwaring, also of Pocatello. Other independent groups spending money in the education issue include a trio of Boise groups who have spent more than $55,000 supporting Democrats and opposing Republicans in swing districts. That includes $10,000 spent against Boise Republican Annette Tipton, who is opposing District 15 incumbent Representative Steve Birch, a Democrat of Boise. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP thanks its listeners and supporters, including the Palouse Folklore Society, celebrating traditional music and dance on the Palouse since 1982. The Palouse Folklore Society sponsors concerts, jam sessions, and a monthly contra dance. Find out more at palousefolk.org or on Facebook.
KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of north central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.
Early voting in Idaho ends Friday at 5 p.m. Early voting is offered at the Latah County Courthouse from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. through Friday afternoon in room 7B of the courthouse. The courthouse is located at 522 South Adams Street, just off of 6th Street. The Idaho Secretary of State's office reported yesterday afternoon that nearly 138,000 voters in Idaho, roughly 12.9% of Idaho's 1 million registered voters, have already cast ballots. The Washington State University Police has issued a warning after a female student reported being assaulted in a student parking lot south of Beasley Coliseum on Monday, October 21st. The woman did not report the assault until last weekend. The victim said someone grabbed her from behind and choked her, which caused her to lose consciousness. She said she regained consciousness at the same location where she had been assaulted and believed she may have been sexually assaulted while blacked out. The victim could not provide a description of the perpetrator. WSU police is asking for any information about the assault to call WSU Police Department at 509-335-8548. Once again, if anyone has information about the assault, they should call the WSU Police Department at 509-335-8548. WSU police are reminding the public to report all incidents to the police department as soon as possible. The agency said it increased patrol on the WSU campus following the report of the incident. Both the Latah County Sheriff's Office and Moscow Police Department are warning residents about a scam phone call situation where someone impersonates police officers or courthouse officials. The scammers, who appear to be using local phone numbers, try to convince the person there is a warrant out for their arrest, and the only way to resolve it is to transfer money to the scammer via Cash App, Bitcoin, or Venmo. Police are reminding people that law enforcement will never call and ask for money to settle warrants and other legal issues. The Moscow Police Department's actual phone number is 208-882-2677. That's 208-882-2677. The sheriff's office number is 208-882-2216. That's 208-882-2216. People who receive those scam calls should hang up, block the number, report the number to police, and generally not answer calls from numbers they do not recognize.
A Wyoming helpline connects callers to a variety of health and human services, including help with health insurance during open enrollment. Wyoming 211 fields 20 to 30 calls a day, according to the organization's deputy director, Olivia Schoen. Specialists then connect callers with appropriate resources from a database of nearly 3,000 options, ranging from small nonprofits to state and federal programs. Schoen says the top issues people call about are rent and utility payment assistance programs, food insecurity, and transportation to health providers. She says initial conversations often unveil more areas in which the caller can use assistance.
We average 4 times the amount of referrals going out based on phone calls coming in. So they call with what their first issue is, and then they leave with more than one solution to other problems that they also have going on.
When callers need assistance enrolling in health insurance, they're connected with Wyoming 211's sister program, Enroll Wyoming. Open enrollment starts Friday. The rate of health insurance enrollment in Wyoming through the marketplace has increased 75% since 2020, according to KFF. In a round of federal funding announced in September for health insurance navigators, Enroll Wyoming received a $1.5 million grant to continue offering its services for free. Caleb Smith with the organization says making important decisions around healthcare can be intimidating.
It doesn't hurt to have somebody who's on your side, who's willing to act as an advocate for you to make sure that you have what you feel like you need to be able to make an informed, empowered decision.
Wyoming 211 is available by dialing 211. I'm Kathleen Shannon with Wyoming News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, there is an 80% chance of rain tonight, mainly after 10 p.m. Snow level 4,600 feet, lowering to 3,800 feet after midnight, low 33. 30% chance of rain tomorrow, mainly before 8 a.m. Snow level 3,500 feet, rising to 4,100 feet in the afternoon, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 46. 80% chance of rain Thursday night, mainly after midnight. Snow level 4,200 feet, low 32. And on Friday, 90% chance of rain, up to a quarter inch of rain possible, snow level 4,100 feet, rising to 4,700 feet in the afternoon with a high of 44. 90% chance of rain Friday night, snow level 4,800 feet, low 34, between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible, and on Saturday, 90% chance of rain, snow level 4,300 feet, high 43, currently 45 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. David Katz assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is also sponsored by
Idaho AFL-CIO, dedicated to representing the interests of working people at the state and local level. KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors for helping make this programming possible.